Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the California 1020, 10 miles, 20 bands, coming up on Sunday, February 15th, Del Mar Fairgrounds, Encinitas and back. That's cal1020.com. Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear, and Tripalooza, which is our Endurance Awards Gala, coming up on Saturday night, February 21st at the Hilton San Diego Resort and Spa. That's tri-palooza.com. Our next guest, one of America's premier runners. She's a two-time USA 5,000-meter champion, seven-time USA road champion, and the American record holder at 5,000 meters with a 14:42.64. Molly Huddle, with a great last name, which goes along with my co-host, Paul Huddle. Molly, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. You have had an awesome season. This has really been a great one for you.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's been a fun year this year for me.
So, Molly, take me back. Did you run in grammar school? Did you get into it in high school? When did you start?
I started running organized track and field in 7th and 8th grade. But I would do a couple road races in the summer with my dad in grade school. So
your dad was a runner?
Yep, he was.
Okay. And then you ran it at Notre Dame High School.
That's right.
And you ran track throughout your high school years, and then in your senior year, there was no cross country team there, right? So you were the only person on your cross country team your senior year.
Yeah. I'm from a pretty small high school, and soccer was the most popular sport, and we just didn't have the numbers for cross country, so it wasn't offered. And I remember really wanting to go to Foot Locker my senior year,
but
I had to run a cross-country season to get good enough to make it there. So we kind of lobbied for it, and I was a team of one that year. So it was kind of a funny year.
But I love that.
It was great.
And you were coached by your dad.
Yes. Yep.
So the high school didn't have a team. You ran as basically a one-person team. You were undefeated regular season, set 12 course records, and then you finished fourth at Foot Locker in the Nationals?
Yep, that's right.
How cool was that coming to San Diego? We just had Foot Locker here last weekend, and the fact they fly all the kids in and put them up at the Hotel Del, and that must have been a pretty cool experience for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a special meet. Like, actually, it was still in Orlando the year I went.
Oh, but, it was Orlando, okay.
I actually just came from that meet this weekend to go watch the kids race, but it's just awesome to get treated like you feel like a professional or like a superstar for that weekend. And,
right.
And that's kind of what my competitors had been telling me my junior year when I would meet some of the girls at the state meet and stuff. They'd say, you know, you should really try for this Foot Locker thing. Like, it's pretty fun. And that's how they described it to me. And it was totally worth it. When I made it there, I just was like, this is like nothing else I've ever experienced before.
So. Exactly. So then you go off to run at Notre Dame. And now, during college, in terms of your experience in college, was that a great, that ended up being a great school for you to go to?
Yeah, so I had kind of always wanted to go to Notre Dame. I'd been to football games and stuff when I was younger because my dad is an alumni. So it was my dream school before I even really thought about running.
Yeah.
And then running kind of, it opened the door for me to go there. But at the same time, I was thinking, you know, maybe I should look at some other schools. With top track programs, and in the end, I was just kind of, you know, couldn't let go of going there. So, fortunately, they had a really great recruiting class with myself and three other freshmen who were. One other girl was at Foot Locker with me, and two other girls that just stepped up right away, and a really good sophomore and senior. So, we were third my freshman year at Notre Dame at NCAA cross country, which is, you know, something they weren't expecting, and I got the best of both worlds, being on a great team and my dream school, and I was kind of nervous about whether that would happen. So, yeah, it was a good career there. And
I'm 10-time All-American, 15:32 for 5,000, which was you sent at Mount SAC, and that was a Notre Dame record. Now, when you were getting towards the end of your collegiate career, were you thinking running professionally?
I was. I didn't quite know how it worked or if I was quite good enough to do it, but
yeah.
I know both Luke Watson and Ryan Shea had gone professional shortly before me, so I was kind of asking them for advice, and things just kind of worked out. I had help from Tim Connolly and Joe Piani at the time, who were the coaches there, and Tim Connolly funneled me to Ray Tracy, who was nice enough to agree to coach me, and I slotted in with his group of post-collegiate women who were really talented. He had a great group out here, and it's been good ever since, so I'm glad that transition's not easy for everyone, and I kind of had a really fortunate setup.
That is the toughest, when people leave that sort of that cocoon of support that you get in college, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, what do I do now? I want to go to the Olympics, but who's going to support me? I need to run the roads to make some money to get to the Olympics. It's a lot of times that's pretty tough, but it sounds like yours was pretty seamless.
Yeah, it can be kind of a nebulous thing. Like, there's no guidebook for how to become a professional runner.
Right.
So you kind of just figure it out. And luckily, I had a lot of people to help me, so I'm pretty glad.
And you met your husband at Notre Dame too.
Yep. Yeah, Kurt. He's a Canadian athlete, and he ran the mile and the 5K. So. Yep.
So as a professional. When I look at some of your big breakthroughs, when you know, 2010, you set the American record at the Diamond League in Brussels, 1444. When you look back, what were the big breakthrough races for you?
That was kind of the end of a breakthrough season for me that started in at Mount SAC that April. I had run 1505, which for me was a huge PR. And,
yeah.
You know, I had dreams of breaking 15 minutes, and to me, that was a sign that I could do it. And even before that, in 2008, the end of my first full year in Providence, I ran 31:26 in the 10K, which was a big PR for me, and that was an early stepping stone for me. And I had a few injuries after that, but that kind of showed me I was on the right path. Training here with Ray and with the girls. So it took a while for it to all tie together at the end of 2010, but I feel I had a couple breakthrough races between April and August that year that just kind of changed the way I raced and the confidence I brought to the world stage. So it was a great experience that summer, even though there wasn't a world championship or anything like that.
Well, and especially you also, and in October, you won, the 10K Road Race Championship. So mm-hmm. 2010 was a great year. So 2011, you runner-up at the cross-country, national cross-country, go to the Worlds, and you guys took 17th there. So do you, between cross-country and track, do you have a preference?
I like both. I think I'm more of a natural track runner, but I think cross country gives me a lot of strength, and I feel like it's good for your mentality to kind of get beat up on in cross country and learn how to deal with, you know, the pain of it. So I try to include cross country, even though it's not my most natural,
right?
Not a natural adaptation for me.
It just makes you tough.
Yeah, so I can't really say I don't like either one. I think they're both.
They're both great. And in June, you win the USA Outdoor Track Championships and qualified for the Worlds, but you're injured at that time of year. And so moving into the Olympic year, when you qualified for the Olympics and you get to go to the Olympics in 2012 and being in London, what was that experience like?
That was pretty special. I mean, on one hand, I was pretty nervous because I felt like that was only the second international team I had made on the track, and I hadn't made the final the year before. So I really wanted to make the final, and I wasn't injured or anything, but there were a few, I had a few races that were just kind of off for me. So
yeah.
On one hand, I'm nervous about being in peak form for the Olympics, but on the other hand, it's this dream come true that you even make it there, because as a track athlete, I mean, the Olympics are the pinnacle of your career. Everyone's trying to make that team. And in the U.S. in particular, it's just so hard to make the team that it's really special for us. You know, you never know. It's never a guarantee, no matter how good you are. There have been very good people left off the Olympic team. So on one hand, I'm just trying to take it all in and almost a spectator there. And on the other hand, I'm trying to pull it all together. And it's so, you know, everyone in the world is looking at you at this race. You want to put your best foot forward. So it was kind of an interesting mix of like trying to appreciate it, but trying to be prepared at the same time.
I think that's the hardest part, because it's the ultimate to get to the Olympics. But then when you're there, it's like, well, you know, I might not ever get here again. I want to take in everything, but I'm also here to race. I got to make sure that I'm resting and not on my feet too much. And so that's that difficult balance.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it is what you make of it. You know, you can go do a lot of sightseeing and watch other venues, or you can treat it like any other track meet, which is kind of like what I had to do to get ready. And so you just kind of hold up and train and take care of your body and rest.
Right.
You kind of miss a lot that's going by you. But it was just an amazing experience regardless. So
did you get to you go to the closing ceremonies?
I did the opening and closing ceremonies, yeah.
Good.
I was lucky because my things fit in that I had time to do that. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool. And you got 11th in the finals.
Yes. Yep.
And now I'm assuming the goal is 2016 5,000 meters.
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to the 10K, but 5K or 10K. We'll see how this year goes.
So 2013, sixth at the women's 5,000 world champs, and was that the highest finish an American woman's ever had?
In the 5K, I think so.
Yeah.
I like that spot. Yeah.
Did that surprise you?
It did. I mean, I was hoping for somewhere around that area, looking at who was in the race.
Yeah.
And I know Shannon and I were running together, Shannon Roberry, and
yeah.
We weren't that far off the fifth place girl ahead of us. So I think after I finished, I was like, it could have gone either way. I could have been seventh if I tried to catch her. I could have been fifth if I caught her. But that definitely felt doable to me. I had to have my best day, but I think it definitely felt doable going in.
So when I look at 2014, you've got, when you look at your PRs, you set PRs, personal bests in the mile, the 5,000 and 10,000. So this was a huge year for you. What was there something in the preparation going into 2014 that led to that? Or was it just a matter of, okay, I've put my time in and my body's able to handle the workload?
I think it was a little bit that. I was able to do things ideally this year, whereas last year, because of an injury, I couldn't do everything I wanted to do to prepare. So
yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, when everything's going great, I have the resources to go to altitude for a month, and I have the, you know, ability to put in a lot heavier of a base in the winter, and I think that stuff kind of paid off. But as I said, that would be a normal, ideal year for me, and I was just lucky enough to be able to do it the way I wanted to do it without an injury. So, yeah, I hope I can line it up that way again next year.
Well, and especially when you're talking about range, when you're running as well as you ran at the mile, 5,000 to 10,000, showing that versatility, that's, you know, usually people don't, they're focused on one or the other. They're not doing great at all. When you have that mile speed, that certainly helps with the 5,000 to 10,000.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So talk a little bit about, I watched the video of you and Shannon at the Outdoor 5000, and that was such a classic race. Loved watching that. You looked like you were boxed in coming around coming sort of towards that last straightaway. What was your strategy going into that?
Well, the year prior, I had lost in kind of a similar battle to Jenny since then, so I didn't want to do that again.
Yeah.
I just knew I had to. When you're racing a miler in the 5K, you have to kind of make it honest, but not blow yourself up at the same time, but yet really, like, treat your kick well. I mean, they use those in, the tactical 1500s where they just have practice with those masterful kicks, and I
Right.
don't really. So
Right.
that's what I was focusing on. I knew I couldn't mess up on the last lap. And I knew that Shannon's plan was to wait for the last lap, and she took. I think I tried to drop her in the first 200, and it didn't happen. But I saved a little bit because I knew her last 200 would be kind of all systems go.
Right.
And I know she looked a lot more fluid than I did. She's obviously used to running that fast at the end of a race, but I kind of just tucked behind her and thought, wait till after the turn and see if you can go around again. And there was a little bit of dodging and weaving going on, but fortunately it was just the two of us, so I did, like, she would cut in and she would cut out, but I had, you know, I had all the rest of the track to go around her.
Right.
And I felt like I had a little bit left. And it came down to that last couple steps, which for me, I mean, that's one of the closest races I've been in. And the few close races I have been in, I lost that way. So I was kind of proud to actually pull it off. And I think I learned from a couple races losing in a close finish to, you know, if you have to dive a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's an advantage to come from behind in the last 100 when they can't really see you or hear you as well.
What was interesting is watching it, and again, watching it on, you know, on video is a little different than being there live. But it looked, you were on the inside, and it's like, okay, there wasn't, she sort of had that closed off. And then you had, she's basically saying, if you want to get me, you're going to have to go wide. You're going to have to run further. And I'm sure that's going through your mind. Okay, I'm going to have to run a little further if I go wide, but I don't have much of an option here.
Yeah, I was hoping I could take the inside, because I know sometimes when you're kicking furiously, you just come off the turn a bit wide. So
yeah.
I thought, look, see if the inside's there. You know, I've been taken on the inside before, and I get yelled at about it all the time by my coach. So I'm like, try the inside, but I wasn't quick enough to get there. So then I thought, just get around her any way that you can. Like, go into lane 7 if you have to, and kind of unfortunately I had to. So, you know, I guess I just kept going wide, and then when they rolled out the tape, I just lunged forward as soon as I could get around her. And I think she might have wasted a bit of energy going in and then out again. But it was kind of a nail-biter. I didn't even really realize what was going on until I watched the video and saw some of the photos, and I noticed I looked a little bit crazy in some of the photos. But as long as you pull it off, I guess it doesn't matter.
I mean, that actually, it's a less than a month stretch. So, you know, June 27th, you have that great race with Shannon. And then, the Morton game, July 14th, you win the mile 4:26, breaking the stadium record and new PR. And then you set the you break your own record, American record, at back in Monaco. That was July 18th. So really, in about a three-week period, you had a season.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was an important 3 weeks for me.
It really was, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we did right this year was that's when I wanted to be my most ready, and that's when I was. So I think we can take that into next year and just pick, you know, the most important month to me is going to be the World Championships, and hopefully time that to be my fittest. So it was good that this year I walked away saying, okay, we timed it the way we wanted to, because that can be hard to control sometimes.
Sure.
You don't quite know what to tweak. So,
what is it about Monaco, the track at Monaco, that's so good for you?
I'd never raced there before, and they usually have a 3K.
Yeah.
And so I had heard it's really fast, and my training partners and a couple of my friends had run really fast there and just said, you know, just one of those tracks that gives you a few seconds for
yeah.
some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because it's actually on like the top floor of a building.
Oh, is it really?
So yeah. So I don't know. You don't realize that the track is actually elevated on top of a building. And I want to say it's 3 or 4 floors. So I wonder if there's just like a little bounce to it because it's hollow underneath, or maybe it's just, you know, it's a really fancy surface. I'm sure they take care of it pretty well in Monaco. So everyone's excited and they know they're going to run fast. And, I was really lucky that it was a 5K this year. Usually they shorten it to a 3K, so I felt like I had to take advantage of that. I don't know that it's never been a 5K there since the Diamond League started. So it's kind of a special race, and everyone kind of knew that there'd be some fast times. So it played out for me that it wasn't overly fast at the beginning, at the top end of the race.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just worked out. I mean, it was actually an unusual, it was kind of warm there, kind of a Mediterranean climate, so it was a little bit humid, but it was a good night.
Yeah, you think?
Yep.
that is a great night. Who is, when you look at the kind of, you mentioned Jenny Simpson and Shannon Roberry, is there one person who you've had more races with than any other and had a lot of, had more, you know, more competitive races with than some of the other gals?
I guess in the U.S., pretty much Shannon, Jenny, and Shalane are the ones that you really,
yep.
you know, in a 5K situation for me are challenging because I'd say I race them all the same. You know, I don't race them all very often. We don't, because they're primary events, they're all in other events. But in the 5K, I feel like we all kind of meet in the middle, and it's kind of like the milers bring the speed to it and the 10K girls bring the strength to it. And it's just, you kind of see what wins out in the end. So it's, you know, it's been a challenge. I feel like in the U.S. we have such good competition that it does get you ready for the world stage, just making the team. So in that way, it's kind of, we're kind of lucky. And it's kind of like, it calluses you.
Sure.
You know, to make the team at USA's, you kind of, you know, it's been proven that you're in the hunt for the top two spots at Worlds.
Yeah. So. What, do you guys stay in Providence all winter, or do you do training camps?
Yeah, we do training camps. I've been going to Phoenix the last couple of years, and it's been really good. You just get ahead. You feel like you get ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, will you run indoor track over the winter, or will you be gearing up mainly for outdoor?
I think I'll just gear up for some early road races like I did last year and skip indoor. It's just a little too short for me.
Yeah.
And I went late enough this year that I just have to train for a couple months. So, yeah, I'll miss it this year.
Nice. And so what will do you know what your first race will be for 2015? We're still in the planning stages.
I know I'm doing the New York City half again in March, and I might do a tune-up 5K somewhere low-key before that, but that would be the first big race.
Love it. Hey, Molly, thank you so much for taking time. Congratulations on really an amazing, amazing year. That anytime you can set personal records, everything from a mile through 10,000, you're doing something right.
Thanks. Yeah, it was great talking to you.
All right. Molly Hull has been our guest. Again, this is Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the California 1020, 10 miles, 20 bands, coming up on Sunday, February 15th. That's cal1020.com, Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear. And definitely check out try-palooza.com, our awards gala coming up on February 21st here in San Diego. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.